All right. Well, it's good to see everyone this morning. We need to go ahead and begin this morning, and we'll get started here in just a second. We'll have a word of prayer. Ask for the Lord's blessings, the Lord's help on our day. But if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open it up to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 is the chapter that we'll be in this morning, chapter number 11. And we'll look here at the life of Paul once again. We've actually, for many weeks now, have been going through 2 Corinthians here, looking at the life of Paul, some of the struggles that he had in his life. Some, if not, well, most of them are ministry related. Some of them were personal struggles, physical struggles that he endured maybe in his life. And 2 Corinthians is actually a good book that you can read through and find that, you know, even Paul had a lot of difficult days in his life. We're going to find here in this chapter something that weighs very heavy upon the heart and the life of Paul as he was doing his very best, of course, to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and help churches, and his ministry was very, very broad. But in our chapter this morning, he is going to deal with a problem that arises, and that is going to be the problem of false prophets or false preachers and false doctrine. And in that being said, and going through our lesson this morning, maybe we could even say this is probably one of the most prevalent problems in the day and age that we live in today. And where do you even begin? Where do you even start in discussing some of the problems that we have in our day when it comes to false doctrine, false teaching, false preaching, and it's everywhere. And it is growing like wildfire. And that is what's so dangerous. Paul realized the problem. We'll look at the problem that Paul is going to face here, how Paul addresses the problem, how Paul tries to warn the people. So there's a lot here for us to get to this morning, and we'll do that as quickly as we can. But let's open up with a word of prayer, and we need God's help. We need God's leading and guiding, and so let's ask God for his help this morning. Heavenly Father, we do ask this morning for your help, that you would help us this morning as we come and as the message is preached this morning and the message tonight. God, I pray that you help us to come with open hearts and open minds and an open life. And Lord, help us to take and accept what you give to us today. Help us to realize that you do have something in store for us today. And God, I pray that you'll help us to receive that this morning and also this evening. We do, Lord, pray for Brother Richardson as he's away this morning. We pray for your blessings upon his life. We pray that you would encourage him today, that you would strengthen him today, that you would bless him today. And Lord, I pray that you'll just give him a good day today. We do pray for our church. We pray for the needs that are present. Lord, all churches have needs. And Lord, we're a needy people. And we do pray that you help supply the needs of your people this morning. We do pray for those that are sick this morning, those who have prayer requests this morning. We pray for your will to be done there in the life of those. We do pray, Lord, for the lost this morning that needs to be saved. And God, we live in a very dark world, a very dark day. But Lord, there's a job to be done, and Lord, there's people that need to be saved. And I pray that you'll help us to be a good witness and a good testimony this week. And Lord, I pray that you'll use us for your honor and for your glory. We do pray, Lord, for our few moments that we have as we study now from your word. And we just pray for your blessings upon our lesson this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would instruct us, Lord, lead and guide and direct in each and every life. And Lord, we just pray for your blessings upon our day at this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in our lesson this morning, we'll lay a little bit of a foundation. Let's do this first. Let's go ahead. We're in chapter number 11. Let me begin by reading two verses. I'm going to skip down to verse number 3 and verse number 4. When you get to these two verses, you get right into the heart of the matter, and you can see very quickly in this chapter that Paul, he's very concerned. There are false teachers that have come amongst the people. There are false prophets. And because of that, there have been people that have been led astray. And that can be very damaging to the work of God. It can be very damaging to a church. And Paul acknowledges that, realizes that. So Paul is going to address the problem here. You'll find in verse number 3, he says, "But I fear." He starts off by telling you he has a concern. He's troubled. He is fearful here, he says in verse number 3. He says, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled evil through the subtlety of your minds, should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, that is taking place in the day and age of Paul. By the way, it's taking place today. All over, every town, every city you go to. He goes on in verse number 4 and he says there's going to be some, or he says there have been some that come that have preached another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you received another spirit. It's another category that Paul is going to address. In fact, there's three categories in verse number 4 that Paul is going to address. He said we got three problems here. You got number 1, we've got some people that's preaching another Jesus other than what I preached to you. He's also mentioning here in verse number 4, there's another problem. We've got people in the ministry that are of another spirit. That's a big-time problem. In fact, just the other week, I think last week, Brother Richardson and I were talking a little bit, and he brought up a little bit about this right here, how that a lot of people are deceived by another spirit. Promise you this morning, if you go down a path that God has not chosen and you claim God led you, it wasn't the Spirit of God that led you, dear friend. It's another spirit. Paul's addressing that here in this chapter as well. So he mentions verse number 4. He said that we got three problems. We got some that are preaching another Jesus. We've got some that are of another spirit. And then also he talks about another gospel. There's people preaching other gospels. Now, we know the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know what the gospel message is this morning. That is what we stand upon. That's what we preach. That's what we teach this morning. But Paul was saying that, hey, there's others coming along, and they're trying to preach a different gospel. Listen, there's only and always has only been one gospel. So Paul here has a threefold problem in the ministry that he's involved in. It has affected the churches. It has affected the brethren and the saved, if you would. And Paul is trying to work through this, and he's going to try to help them and as only as Paul can. And we'll get to that here in just a moment. But we take this issue that we find right here, and I'm going to just stop right here after verse number 4. I think we could all agree this morning that the problem that you find in verse 3 and 4 is very prevalent in the day and age that we live in. Let's be honest. There are churches on every corner, and every church believes something different. Now, I know a lot of them want to claim, well, we're all serving the same God, but I disagree with that. And we'll face that here maybe in a few moments as well. But you'll find here that it's very prevalent in our day and age. And this chapter is a chapter that, boy, you ought to study. We're going to just kind of skim through the chapter, but, boy, you ought to go home and read and study because it's such a problem in the day and age that we live in. And Paul here, he warned the Corinthians about the dangers of this, I guess I could call it religious deception. And there was a lot of deception that was taking place in the day of Paul. By the way, a lot of deception taking place today in our day and age. I mean, much of it, and there's a lot to be said. And as I was pinning down some notes and going through the chapter a little bit, I got to thinking to myself, where do you even start? I mean, you're talking about a problem in society today. We have, a lot of people thought we have a sin problem in our day. We've always had a sin problem all the way back to the book of Genesis. One of our biggest problems today is, dear friend, we have a spiritual problem today. And I think it's the number one problem of our society today. We have a spiritual problem today. And false teaching, by the way, is a problem that Paul had to face. He's going to hit it head on. You're going to find that Paul is going to hold nothing back. He's going to hit it. He's going to hit this problem head on. He's going to confront the false prophets and the false preachers, the false apostles, as he will describe them here in a few moments, and he's going to confront that. But, you know, false teaching includes anything and everything that is not according to the Word of God. Did you hear me? It's anything that is taught that is contrary to the Word of God. People say, well, how do you know that you're right and maybe you're wrong and I'm right? Well, let me say this. The only reason that I know when we're right is when we back it up with this right here. You see, when any preacher preaches a message from a pulpit and he backs it up with the Word of God, he's always right. It's not that the preacher's right, it's that the truth is right. Now, the truth is the Word of God. And that's what Paul is going to kind of hammer home here a little bit about the truth of the Word of God. And, you know, God wants all of us to hear the truth, God wants us to believe the truth, and God wants us to act upon the truth. Three things there. We come this morning to hear the truth of the Word of God. After the truth of the Word of God is preached unto us, we should believe the truth of the Word of God that has been preached to us, and not only hear the truth and believe the truth, but, dear friend, you've got to walk out the doors of this church and act upon the truth of the Word of God. And that's where a lot of churches are falling short. It's sad today, but most churches, their spirituality ends on the exit doors of the church house. We've got to go out in this world and live the truth of the Word of God. We're not going to spend maybe a lot of time on that, but the Word of God says that the truth of the Word of God is what's going to set mankind free. I also listed a couple of things this morning that I was studying through teacher's book that I had there, and it mentions two things, and I like this. Lies have two key elements. I like this. Number one, all lies, spiritual lies, will have a shred of truth. A shred of truth. Just a minute portion of it could actually be true. And then secondly, all lies appeal to the lust that's already in the hearts of mankind. A lot of truth to that as well. But boy, do we not have a problem today? I mean, you take churches today. Now, I don't know of anybody more qualified to probably speak on this than Brother Sisson this morning. He travels a lot, he preaches a lot, and I'm sure he's seen a lot. Churches are sad. Very sad. And you think about churches today, you bear with me a little bit this morning. I mean, nothing stirs me up anymore than so-called churches doing what so-called churches are doing today. Let's be honest. In the most average church in America, now you can claim it as any category. You can claim it as Baptist. You can claim Methodist, Pentecostal. You can name non-denomination. Whatever category you want to list a church in, one of the biggest problems, if not the biggest problem today, is if there is any preaching, it's very weak. And here's what people say. Well, you know, people don't want hard preaching anymore. Well, who made you the deciding factor in that? I didn't know that we gauge our preaching based on what people want. I thought we gauged our preaching on thus saith the Lord. I thought preaching should be based on what God tells a man that he ought to preach. And I did say man, not women. I promise you. Well, it doesn't really matter what I promise. My promises don't mean anything. I can say this according to the Word of God. God's never called a woman to pastor a church, period. Never has. Never will. But boy, you get to churches today, I mean, if they have any preaching, it becomes very weak. And men, when you don't have strong preaching of the Word of God, things are going to fall apart, and they're going to fall apart very quickly. Let me tell you why. We're all flesh. We're sinful people. In most churches today, the Bible is nowhere to be found. Don't need Bible. They become entertainment centers. And most churches today have turned to entertainment because they are told and they believe in their minds that entertainment's how you build a big crowd. That's how you build a big church. That's how you get a lot of people to come in. Now, I'm all for gaining and growing and reaching. And if there's, 100 people here today, I wished it was 200 people today. If it's 10 people today, I wished it was 20 people today. If it was 500, I wished it was 1,000. You know, I think every preacher ought to desire to try to reach and preach to more people. But, hey, that's not the goal this morning. Never has been the goal. But nowadays people are told that you've got to turn to entertainment. I mean, you've got to realize that you live in the year 2017. And in the 2017, the year 2017, you can't do it like Paul did it. I beg a difference this morning. I just believe that a church ought to be built around the Word of God and just let the chips fall where they may. But it's all entertainment today. Here's something else. Churches today, anything goes. And I do mean anything. And here's what's really, really sad. Most Christians will leave church this morning. Let me say, I don't want to use the word Christians. Most people will leave churches today, and you can't tell them any different from a worldly lost person this morning. Let me tell you why anything goes. I mean, they just, anything goes. It's all based on entertainment. You can't find the Word of God anywhere. If there is any preaching, it is extremely weak. And we've gotten to the day and age nowadays where it is very prominent for churches to have women preachers. They have dual pastorships now. I don't know what you even call it anymore. Most churches today, it'll have the preacher listed there as the preacher, and his wife is also the preacher. He preaches 1 week, she preaches 1 week. He preaches the morning, she preaches the evening. Next week, she preaches the morning, he preaches the evening. And we really think we've come and arrived at reaching people. We're in sad shape, dear friend. But listen, no different than what Paul faced. Same thing, same problems. And Paul says, I'm fearful. He begins, look at verse number 3. He says, but I fear. Let me say this morning, I'm hopeful, but I fear. You see, I fear for the next generation. I fear for my children. My children now are, you know, my children now are up in age a little bit now, and they're not little kids anymore, not children anymore. But I fear for them. I wonder this morning, our grandchildren, what kind of church are they going to have? Where are they going to go to church? Churches are told today that one of the first things you do not do, you do not put the word Baptist on your sign. You just call it the Church of Madisonville. The Church of Hope. The Church of whatever you want to call it, and it kind of sounds good, but you don't want to put the name of what you are. You don't want to put yourself in a box, they say. You know, you don't want to put yourself off into the corner because you'll box yourself in and you'll not be able to reach a third of the people that you could reach if you'll just take the name Baptist off your side. And they have no idea. You know what most church members ought to do? It ought to be almost mandatory. Everybody ought to read the Trail of Blood one time. Just read that book one time. And it's not even a book. I mean, it's almost like a little pamphlet. I mean, it's so easy, and you can read it in a day. You would be shocked at the people that died just to have the name Baptist on our side. We're in trouble today. Big trouble. Now, I'm not saying there's no hope. There's hope. You're going to find out. Paul's going to let you know there's hope. He says, as long as I've got breath, there's going to be some hope. But boy, are we not in trouble today. And I don't get to go to a lot of different churches, and even Brother Sisson probably could speak a lot more about it. And I'm sure most churches he goes to, he pretty well knows who they are, but I'm sure he could kind of tell you a lot of what goes on in a lot of different towns, a lot of crazy things that churches are doing just trying to reach people. And they're not really reaching people. They're just trying to build a crowd. It's entertainment centers. Boy, has the music not changed today. God help us. They always say, well, the music's the first thing to go. And I like music. I like good church music, but boy, have we not, and I'm not saying, I shouldn't say we, but have churches not changed in the area of music? Lord help us. I mean, not only do they change the name, not only do they change, I mean, they even change the look. They don't want it to look like a church. I mean, most churches today, it's a stage. It's not no longer a pulpit. It's dark. To be honest with you, it's worldly. It's just worldly. You know, when you want to start dimming the lights down, it just reminds me of darkness, and, you know, men love darkness. You know, there's a lot of spiritual application behind why churches are doing what they're doing, and it's not for the good. And Paul says here in verse number 3, he said, but I fear. He said, I fear for three things here. And Paul's going to address all three of them. And first of all, you'll find in verse number 3 that Paul kind of begins to tell you where it all started. In verse number 3, he says, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent did with Eve. That's where it all came from. Let me tell you why churches are worldly today, because of what happened back in the Garden of Eden. It all goes back to Eve, if you would. And Paul starts to describe, first thing that Paul does is he's going to hit it head on. He's going to tell you exactly where all this problem comes from. It comes from Satan. In fact, Paul, in verse number 3, he compared the work of Satan in churches to his work in the Garden of Eden. In fact, keep your finger right there. We're going to come back. Go to Genesis chapter 3. You know the story, but I want us just to kind of review real quick. You go all the way back, so we'll go back and find Eve. She's going to be in chapter number 3, and you're going to find Satan in chapter number 3 as well, and you know the story here. But Paul, here's what Paul's going to do. Paul says what's taking place in churches of his day is a lot like what happened with Eve and Satan. So you could say, if he's comparing it to what happened in the Garden of Eden, it is a work of Satan. And a lot of what's happened in the year 2017, dear friend, it is not a great movement. It is a work of Satan this morning. And in chapter 3 of Genesis, you'll find in verse number 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Satan always works this way. He always wants to put a question mark where God puts a period. Are y'all with me this morning? Hath God said? You know what I could do real quickly? That is a question that I could answer. You ever remember being a child in school and teacher asked a question and it happened to be the only question you knew the answer to? Boy, your arm went up real high real quick. Let me say this morning that I could raise my hand and I could answer this little question that the serpent here gives to Eve, and my answer would be, God has said. In fact, if you go over, and I'm not going to read the verse, but if you go back to verse number 17 of chapter number 2, you'll find God did say, you're not going to eat of this fruit. Isn't it amazing? Out of all the trees and all the fruit, there's only one in the whole planet Earth that they're not to eat of. And guess what they find themselves doing? I mean, mankind always messes everything up. Hath God said. He says in verse number 4, and the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now let me say, if God says you're going to die, you're going to die. You'll find in verse number 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. Now, I heard a preacher say one time, it's just like a woman to exaggerate a little bit. God never said you couldn't touch it. He just said you couldn't eat it. But now I will say this, if you get to where you're already touching the fruit, it's a lot closer to start eating on the fruit. So here's the serpent, and he starts questioning God. He's questioning God's word. You know what? He's questioning the truth of the word of God. Half God said in verse number one. Verse number four, he makes a proclamation here. He says, ye shall not surely die. In verse number five, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, which is kind of true. Their eyes are going to be opened, all right. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He lies. Can I remind us this morning, Satan is a liar. He lies. I could go a lot further than that this morning and say there's a lot of churches this morning that are lying. There's a lot of so-called preachers this morning that are lying. Because when you start twisting the word of God and when you try to start making it fit what man wants instead of what God says, dear friend, you're a liar. Verse number six, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired, you see, she's looking and her eyes sees and then she starts desiring. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her and he did eat. I've had a lot of preachers preach a little bit of where was Adam. I personally, it's not Bible, this is just me. I think he was right there by her. Maybe he's another husband that doesn't take a stand like he should in his home. And Paul says that the problem in the churches that he was facing is because there was a lot of deception that was taking place, and it all goes back to Eve and the serpent back in the garden in the book of Genesis. Go back, if you would. I'm getting off track. Go back to 2 Corinthians. Let me stay on track here on chapter number 11 here. And you'll find here that he says here, verse number 3, he said, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, right, as he tricked, deceived her. He says, I'm afraid a lot of you are being deceived. You're being deceived by false preachers. You're being deceived by another spirit. You're being deceived by another gospel. And boy, when people start believing that, you got a problem. What does Eve do? She falls prey, I guess. And I don't know, we use the word fall. I don't know that she fell anywhere. She chose. She chose. What does Satan do? He deceived Eve. He does that by appealing to the lust of the eyes. You remember how that she saw the fruit. You see, the devil, he can deceive you right through your eyes. Boy, is that not taking place in, I'm talking about in religion today. How else? He does it by the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. That's how Satan always works. And by the way, his tactics have not changed. He still works the same old way. So how are we to the point that we're at in society today? The year 2017, the most advanced society among mankind. The advancements that mankind has made through technology, through the life standards of living and how we live and what we have, and yet we are spiritually bankrupt today. How do we get to this point? Hey, you would have to agree with me this morning, churches aren't what they used to be. I don't know who the oldest person may be in this room. I'm not going to ask this morning, but I'm sure whoever that may be, you could get up and testify about how church used to be. So where are we gotten off track as a society, and you know what's taking place here? You see, Satan is still at work. He's working just like he did back in the Garden of Eden. He's using the same old, tactics. He's using the same old plan. And guess what? It's working. You know what I think? And I'm just speculating. I get off track here, and it's not Bible. I don't know. Maybe Satan thought, you know, if it worked with Eve, I believe it'd work in Madisonville. Why change my game plan? Why change my tactics? I mean, they hadn't caught on to it yet. They're still the falling prey to my lies and my trickery and my deception. And why change anything? It's working pretty good for him. And there's people that sit in the pews of so-called churches and are believing lies this morning. Now, a lot of people don't like for me to say this, but I'm just going to say it real bluntly. There's a lot of so-called preachers in pulpits today that are false apostles. They're false teachers. They're false prophets, and they're teaching lies. Now, I know we live in a day and age where we're not supposed to say that. That's not politically correct, but I'm not trying to be politically correct this morning. Exposing, that's where we're going to get to, because that's what Paul's going to do. You know what Paul's going to do? He's just going to blow it up. Well, you know, that's just not the way it ought to be done. We need to love everybody and be nice and be kind. And we do. There's nobody in this room that doesn't believe that we don't preach, that we ought to love people, we ought to help people, we ought to encourage people, we ought to reach people. But, dear friends, somewhere along the line, you got to take a stand. Paul says in verse number 4, you know what Satan's going to do? He's going to send some men. You know what they're going to do? They're going to preach another Jesus. Another Jesus. You'll find in verse number 4, false preachers Paul was saying, and he was describing the false preachers there and how that they had another spirit that was entirely different from the Holy Spirit of God. Let me just stop here real quickly. Do you know there's a reason why we call him the Holy Spirit? You see, the word holy throws most people off today. I mean, can I remind you something? The Holy Spirit, he's still holy. I think we get all, whole lot of talk today about the Spirit. But very few want to call him the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you why. Because they're preaching a different spirit than the Holy Spirit. Can I just be real simple this morning? The Holy Spirit will never ask you to do anything other than be holy. You see, this morning, the Holy Spirit of God will push you to be more holy, to be more like Christ. Christ is holy. Are y'all with me this morning? Oh, my soul. Brother Simpson, we could preach all day long about another spirit. There's another spirit brewing in this country, and it's not the Holy Spirit of God, dear friend. It is a lying, deceptive spirit that's deceiving mankind to believing that church is not what it used to be. This is the new way. This is how you do it. It's worldly. It's ungodly. There's no basis. There's no truth. There's no preaching. There's no word of God. And when it's all said and done, you have a whole lot of nothing when it's all said and done. And people go today, boy, they'll sit down and they'll get to going. And now you got to change this. You got to have your praise band. And you've got to have a praise and worship leader. You know what a lot of that is? It's working on the emotions of people. False preachers of today are building their ministries around feelings and emotions. People look at that and think, man, that's a lot of excitement going on. And they get that praise band going, and they get that beat going, and they get those instruments going, and they darken the lights, and they put the spotlights on the stage, and get the smoke coming up. And I had a preacher say one time, it reminds him of what a honky-tonk looks like. I've never been to a honky-tonk, so I don't know. But I do know this, even though maybe I've never been to one of those, I still know that's something not right about that. You see, when you got to start like, when you got to try to be like the world, something's wrong. Something's off. Something's wrong. And false preachers, they're going to build their ministry around feelings and emotions. They get the praise band and they get the worship leaders up there. And they try to get everybody involved. And I think you ought to get involved in singing. But, boy, they want you to start clapping your hands and stomping your foot and get up and sway. And what are they doing? They're working on the emotions of the people. And it's happening everywhere. It's not going to shock you. They're drawing pretty big crowds. I had a guy tell me one time, numbers speak for themselves, must be working okay. I'd hate to know you told Jesus Christ that. And I'm not belittling the ministry of Christ, but I promise you this, there was a lot of days where Jesus Christ didn't have a big audience. He turned around one day and wanted to know where's everybody at? Where are they at? There were times when Jesus Christ spoke to 12. Not hundreds, not thousands. 12. There's more in his Sunday school class than sometimes the audience that Jesus Christ had. And I'm not belittling the ministry of Jesus Christ. I'm just trying to prove a point here. It's not all about the big numbers. But now mankind believes it's all about the numbers. It's all about the size. So what do? We change the appearance. We change the name of the church. We don't want to call. We don't want to put ourselves in a box, so we change the name. And we're just the no-name church of Madisonville. And everybody's welcome. Everybody come. And we'll have entertainment for you. We'll feed you donuts. And we'll give you coffee in the morning. I'm all for coffee and donuts, but I don't think that, you know, and they changed the appearance. It doesn't look like an auditorium anymore. It doesn't look like a church house anymore. It looks like a honky-tonk nowadays. It's a stage. It's not a platform. They took the pulpit out. They took the Word of God out. They bring in the band. They bring in this praise and worship leaders, and they work on the emotions of the people and get all the emotions stirred up. You know, dear friend, emotions have misled more people than anything. When Kentucky played Kansas the other day, my emotions were pretty high. And we got beat. Emotions are very dangerous at times. Oh, I got to hurry. We're getting way behind here. You'll find that Paul, and I'm going to skim through some things here, but you'll find also in the same chapter here that Paul, beginning in verse number 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, you know what Paul does? Paul just decides, I think I'll just expose the false doctrine that's been taught. Just expose it. You know how you defeat false doctrine? With truth. It's the only way. And you'll find that, and by the way, preachers ought to expose false doctrine. We ought to expose false doctrines. You know why? Well, one of the reasons is to protect the church, to protect the flock, to protect the membership of the church, to protect the people of the church. That's why men of God ought to expose false doctrine. Nowadays, sometimes preachers have decided, you know, I think I'll just kind of stay away. That's a little hot spot, a little trouble spot. I think I'll just bypass that and kind of preach around it. Paul didn't preach around anything. Paul just hit it head on. I'm afraid sometimes that preachers sometimes can be afraid they're going to, you know, remember the old saying, they're going to ruffle the feathers. I don't know of anything more needed today than ruffling the feathers of people. Oh, you get them all stirred up. Boy, something needs to stir them up. Would you agree that it's more evil today probably than it's ever been? It's pretty evil. Now, some may say, well, I don't know if it's as bad as what it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. There are some categories in the Word of God where it was extremely bad spiritually, but I think we would all agree, spiritually speaking, we're in a pretty dark day. And the more the day becomes dark, would it not be kind of the normal thing to say that maybe we need more biblical, strong preaching? But here's what society's done. Since it's more dark today, you don't preach stronger, you preach less. You don't take more of a stand, you take less of a stand. You don't become more godly, you become less godly. You don't try to be more like Christ, we try to be more like the world. Is that not what society's trying to teach us today? We should reveal the falsehoods of the teaching of false doctrine and false prophets. Expose it. That's what Paul does. I mean, even Paul, and you start reading through these verses, he even starts talking a little bit about money, and he talks about how that, you know what, you rascals that I'm preaching to, I never took a dime from you. You didn't buy me. You didn't hire me, and you can't fire me. That's what Paul said. I didn't take money from you. I'm not, Paul, you know what Paul was saying? I'm not doing it for money. Let me tell you why. Because there were a lot of preachers in Paul's day that was doing it for the money. And there's a whole lot of them doing it for the money. If Osteen didn't have half his money, he wouldn't do half of what he's doing today. I'll just go ahead and say it. I think he's a deceiver. I think he's a false prophet. I think he teaches false doctrine. But he has a lot of good positive things. You know what? He probably does have some good things and some good lines and some good points here and there. But when you get away from this book right here, dear friend, I can't stay with you. When you can't go on national television and tell the world that you need to be saved through Jesus Christ, and that's the only way. You know what he told on national television? He's not here to judge who goes to heaven and who's not. And he basically was saying there's many ways to heaven, not just my way. I don't know how damaging of a thought that, how damaging he was to society when he just, if he would have just, there were some times he had some opportunities to take a stand. Which I don't have a lot. I don't put my faith and hope in TV evangelist anyway. Here's my opinion about it. You ought to turn off the television and go to church. Don't give me this garbage. Well, I watch so-and-so on television on Sunday mornings. That's garbage. You told me in the Word of God. How are you going to get away from what the Word of God teaches a little bit about going to church? How are you going to get away about forsaking not the assembling of themselves together? I'm going to get way off track here a little bit. It's garbage. Here's what they put. The teaching ministry of so-and-so. And I'm not against teaching. That's what we're doing right now. We're teaching. But somewhere along the line, you know what it needs to be? The preaching ministry of so-and-so. You know what we need today? We need preaching, dear friend. We need somebody to get in the pulpits of America and get the Word of God out and find the truth of the Word of God and just haul back and just let it rip. Oh, you can't do it that way. You'll run people off. You'll offend someone. Oh, we don't want to offend anyone. And I don't think our ministry ought to be designed to try to offend anybody, but we need to get back to, strong Bible preaching once again. Why? Because the day is dark. Because the day is at hand. I don't know how much more time we've got left in this wicked world. Let me hurry my time's out here. Thirdly, Paul also exposed not only the false doctrine, but you're not going to like this, but he exposed the false teachers. You know the old saying, well, I don't think you ought to name sin by the names. Well, I do. I think either sometimes I think I'm so dumb, so stupid, I just need a preacher to tell. I just tell me, just lay it out there. Well, I don't think you ought to call names. Well, don't do it. Paul did. You'll find in verse number 13, verse 14, and verse 15 that Paul exposed false teachers for what they really were. They were, as the Bible describes, false apostles. You'll find that, let me look here if I can find it. I'm going to hurriedly real quickly. Let me bypass that, I guess, here real quickly. But you'll find here that Paul, you say, well, you know, Paul, maybe he wasn't the most tactful person. Maybe Paul could have maybe done it a better way. And I don't know. Everybody can sit back and second guess the way somebody does something or way a preacher approaches problems and so forth. But I'm just telling you, this way Paul does it. Paul exposed the false doctrine. He's also going to expose the false teachers that teach the false doctrine. And Paul said that they were false, they were deceitful. And he uses these words. He uses the word false. He uses the word deceitful. Because that's what they were. Let me say this real quickly. Not everything and everyone is right in this world. Because the society wants you to believe that you got... How many different denominations are out there today? I have no idea. It's a lot. But the world wants you to believe that, you know, we're all the same. We're all going to the same place. We're all serving the same God. And I totally disagree with that. Either, it comes down to this, and I know people don't want to hear this, you're either right or you're wrong. There's no in between. It's either right or it's wrong. Be honest with you, most people, or I should say, in fact, most are not right. There's a lot of wrong. And Paul says in verse number 3, you'll find that he says here, I fear. Paul said, I fear. Because of what was happening to the people that were being led astray. And there was a lot of people being led astray. Let me ask you this morning, are you next? Oh, it never happened to me. It happens to everyone at times in life that they're tempted to go down a different path, but dear friend, don't go down that path if it's not truth. So Paul, what does he do? Well, he exposes the false doctrine. He tells you where it came from. He exposes the false doctrine. He exposes the false teachers. And you're probably thinking, boy, I bet he was on top of his game. I bet he was the most known preacher on planet Earth. I bet his ministry just exploded. I bet things really went well for him. Listen, Paul paid a big price. You see, Paul, he's not going to pay a big price because he was loved by everyone. Paul's going to pay a big price because he was hated by people. You're in the same chapter. You're in chapter number 11. Look down to verse number 23. Are you ministers of Christ? Question mark. I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes, above measure, in prisons more frequent. What does that mean? It means he's in prison more than he was out of prison. And death's off. He said, I've been many times, my life was on the verge of death. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice. See, he's loved. So you just don't realize how much the world loved Paul. Boy, Paul had it on easy street. Let me tell you why Paul goes through all this. One simple reason. He preached this right here. That's it. You'll find as he goes on, he's not even done. I mean, where was I at? Verse 25, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. He said, man, I spent a night and a day out in the ocean. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often. What does that mean? He means I had to sleep with one eye open. Everywhere I go, I'm always having to look behind my back. In hunger and thirst and fastings often, cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the what? The what? The churches. So don't try to accuse Paul of having it easy. Paul had it very difficult. And the only reason he ever had it very difficult, you know what? He could have changed his message. If he would have just listened to everybody else, he could have kind of toned it back and kind of watered it down. You know, instead of hitting head on, just preach around it. Change the music a little bit. You know, quit drawing lines in the sand. Quit preaching so hard. There's a lot of things Paul could have done different, and he could have bypassed a lot of these problems. But you know what Paul did? Paul said, you know what, I'd rather die than betray my Jesus Christ. And he preaches the word of God. And may I say this morning, there's nothing any more needed than the truth that you find that's lying right in your lap this morning. That's what the world needs. It needs the truth of the word of God. My time's out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. And God, we live in a very confused world, Lord, a world that's just completely upside down. There's a lot of innocent people in this world that's being led astray by false teaching and false preaching and false teachers and false churches and false ministries. And God, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to do our part to try to bring some sanity to this world that we live in, to bring the truth of your word to a lost and dying world that so desperately needs to just hear the truth. And God, help us to take a stand for the truth of the word of God. Help us to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.